three and peppermint. I love the sights of Christmas. Love the opportunity to view the lights filled with colors of red and green and white, as well as the opportunity to hear the sounds of Christmas. This particular year at church, we've returned to the classic Christmas carols on Sunday morning. And then there's always Bing Crosby and Mariah Carey. Don't know if there's any Mariah Carey fans out there or not, but it's part of the sounds of Christmas. There's the taste of Christmas. I enjoy homemade candies and cookies and hot chocolate and honey glazed hams. And then there's the feelings of Christmas. There's love and good cheer. There's the warmth of a wood burning fire. And yet in the midst of all the things that surround Christmas and the concepts of hope and peace and joy and love, oftentimes the very meaning of Christmas seems to be elusive to many people. Instead of it being the most wonderful time of the year, sometimes it's filled with dread and disruption and chaos and confusion. And in the midst of all of that, I believe God has a word for us. 2,000 years ago, in a small town called Bethlehem, about 5 miles south of Jerusalem, a couple named Joseph and Mary went from their town in Nazareth to Bethlehem to pay taxes. And while they were there, a baby was born. His name is Jesus. Jesus came into a world filled with chaos and confusion. And in many ways, he became the disruptive force in that world. And in the midst of that, we're told that heaven invaded earth, that God became man to dwell among us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And one of the things that I enjoy looking at, particularly at this time of year, are the birth narratives, both in Matthew's gospel as well as Luke's gospel. And one of the challenges, at least for me and perhaps for many of you, is to come to those birth narratives with fresh ears and fresh eyes and a fresh heart to see and to hear and to feel what it is that this season of the year can be filled with. And because this particular week in the Advent calendar, we're focused on the concept or the word of peace, I want to take us to the second chapter of the book of Luke. Again, a very familiar passage. We could all do a wonderful job of exegeting it. My concern this morning is that we do more than exegete the passage, but we come to a place of experiencing what it is that God wants us to see, hear, and feel. And so this is the declaration of the angels and the message at this time of year. I'll break into the middle of the text in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 14. But the angels were terrified. Excuse me. But the angel said to them, the shepherds were terrified, but the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Peace. I want us to think about that for a few moments this morning. Oftentimes, people view peace as the absence of something, the absence of chaos, the absence of confusion, the absence of strife or struggle. And I'd submit to us this morning that peace is not so much the absence of something as much as it is the presence of someone. And that someone is Jesus, who invites us into his shalom, his peace. Shalom is a famous Hebrew greeting that Jews would greet other Jews with. And oftentimes, shalom is seen as an issue of health and wealth and prosperity. But I think the concept of shalom is far more about complete wholeness. It's about the restoration of all things. It is the Garden of Eden before the fall. It is relationships that are righted. And Jesus came to bring peace. This baby born in Bethlehem's manger, who grew up in a carpenter's home and gathered around himself as an adult, 12 men, who for 3+ years he would pour himself into. His teachings changed lives and riled the anger and the angst of the religious leaders of his day. And then he suffered and died a cruel death. He lived a sinless life and died a sacrificial death. And 3 days later, he rose from the grave triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. And he gives to us peace. We can find the peace of God when we have peace with God. And Jesus comes to offer that not only to us, but he invites us to bring his shalom to the people that we encounter, particularly in a season like this. And I would just encourage us as we think about peace. And by the way, peace is mentioned over 330 times in the scriptures. It is that peace that our world so desperately longs for. And in a world filled with the threat of World War III and out of the context of another very volatile political season, God wants us to bring he wants us to be the bringers of his peace. Jesus promises us peace. Not the absence of circumstances that might create chaos and confusion, but he promises us a peace that comes more through the condition of our hearts rather than the circumstances of our lives. One of the promises of Jesus that I wished he'd never made is found in John chapter 16, verse 33. In this world, you'll have trouble. And oh, how well acquainted we are with trouble. But the promise is that even as he overcame the world, so too will we overcome the world. The prophet Isaiah in the 26th chapter in the 3rd verse said, you will be kept in perfect peace. Those whose minds are fixed on thee. Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 said, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And in the book of Numbers, we have the priestly blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. As the people of God, we're called to usher in his shalom, his peace. As spirit-filled people, one of the fruit of the Spirit is peace. As God's holy people, we are called to reflect his peace to the world around us. I'm convinced that God's going to set the world right, and he intends to use us as his people of peace, who are committed to making peace and actively bringing that into reality as we move into the places of brokenness. It's not wasted on me that God gave this message to shepherds. Shepherds who knew all about alienation and brokenness and what it meant to be outcast. And yet we can identify with the shepherds. And we are called into the same kinds of broken places as the people of God have always been called into. We've been called to speak peace to the single mom who struggles to make ends meet and try to keep her family together. We're called to speak peace and to bring peace to the middle-aged man who has lost his job and no matter where he goes, he's too qualified for the position. We're called to speak peace and to be peace to the elderly couple who are facing the reality of losing their independence and having to sell their home. We're called to be peace and to speak peace to the grieving heart. That heart that aches because there'll be an empty place around the table at Christmas time. And we're called to be peace and to speak peace to the lonely person who may be surrounded by people everywhere, but they feel emptiness in their hearts. Peace is found in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. I'll say it again. Peace is not the absence of something. It's more the presence of someone. And I pray that throughout this Advent season and beyond, we'll keep in mind that we have been called to partner with God in bringing the reality of peace and to be peace to those we come in contact with. And I would just challenge us this morning to receive that peace and to be that peace and to make peace. I'd like to close with a benediction and an invitation that comes out of Isaiah chapter 55, verse 12. You will go out in joy and will be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all of the trees of the field will clap their hands. God bless you.